Hello and welcome to the latest in Innovation Forum's webinar series with me, Ian Welsh. Today we are going to be discussing how companies can better track progress and measure the impacts of their sustainability programs. Understanding how to accelerate sustainability effectively is crucial for business, but the lack of reliable data often means companies are unable to track progress and measure impact. However, there are some low-cost performance monitoring tools emerging that can help companies identify and monitor the right data, helping them to advance their sustainability programs more effectively. And very importantly, companies can also understand how to get a return from the investment in their initiatives. Over the course of the next hour, we will discuss some of the major challenges that companies, both small and large, face in understanding and quantifying their impacts. We will look at the sort of tools that track and integrate data on supply chain activities to make sense of compliance, performance, and impact. We have a star panel of experts to help lead our discussion today. We have Townsend Bailey, Director of Supply Chain Sustainability with McDonald's USA, Molly Laverty, Director of Sustainability at Farmer Brothers, Alejandro Escobar, Lead Investment and Operations Officer at the Inter-American Development Bank, and Daniele Gianvenucci, President and Co-Founder of the Committee on Sustainability Assessment. And my thanks to the Committee on Sustainability Assessment and to my Innovation Forum colleagues, Charlene Ardenez and Leah Favrick, for their help in convening this webinar. Okay, I will shortly invite our panelists to make some opening remarks to help frame today's discussion, and then we will then move in to a period of Q&A in the second half of our hour. Now, I want this session to be as interactive as possible, so please do submit your questions at any point using the comments box on the webinar dashboard, and I will put them to our panel. If you can keep your questions short, they're much more likely to be used. I should point out that there will be no slides. This is a structured panel discussion throughout, and we're recording the webinar and we'll be circulating a link to the recording in the next couple of days. So, Townsend from McDonald's, can you give some perspective on the challenges for a consumer-facing brand and how you will use technology and innovation to help track your own progress and work with your suppliers? Townsend, over to you.
Great. Thank you, Ian, and good morning, everyone. So I lead supply chain sustainability for McDonald's US business. I'm also the global lead for coffee sustainability. And I'd like to start my comments by recognizing that McDonald's is still very early in the process of figuring out how to measure impacts in our supply chain sustainability investments. Also, McDonald's is a consumer-facing brand, a restaurant at the far end of the supply chain from the farms growing our products. This does make it very difficult for us to measure the impacts of our actions across our many and complex supply chains. For this, and the companies further up the supply chain, like Farmer Brothers and the NGOs like COSA, who work with the farmers every day, are much better placed to discuss the specifics of measuring impacts in agricultural problems. So what I'm going to share today is why measuring impact is so important for McDonald's to figure out, and I'm also going to reflect on three principles that guide us as we strive to improve our ability to measure impact. Measuring impact is important for McDonald's for many reasons. As we all know, consumers and customers are more curious than ever about where their food comes from, what's in it, and how it's prepared. They also have more access to information than ever before. That access is increasing, and this information is often available through their smartphones and other smart devices at the time they're making their purchase decisions. We don't see these trends going away, and as a food company, it's a great thing that our customers are so interested in our products. Understanding the impacts of our supply chain is essential for being able to assure our customers that their food comes from sources that share their values in terms of environmental stewardship and how people are treated. And once we understand our impacts, we have to decide, what are we going to do about these impacts? Where should we focus our time and resources? What impacts pose the greatest risk to our supply of products or to the people or ecosystems in our supply chain? At McDonald's, we've identified 7 priority impact areas where we're working on improving our impacts. And those 7 areas are human rights, animal health and welfare, economically viable farming, climate change, deforestation, water resources, and waste, especially food waste. As we work with our suppliers and invest our time and resources to improve these impacts, we need to know whether our investments and efforts are making a difference, and if so, how much. The better our information about the impact of our efforts in our supply chain, the better we will be able to provide assurance to our customers and build deeper trust with them, analyze risk in our supply chains and quantify the return on our investments in our supply chain, and ultimately make better decisions about where and how to invest in our supply chain for more positive environmental, ethical, and economic impacts. These are some of the main reasons why measuring impact in our supply chain all the way to the agricultural production of our raw materials is so important for McDonald's. As we strive to improve our impacts and the way we measure them, I'd like to share three principles that guide us in this effort. And those are collaboration, common and shared metrics, and continuous improvement. On collaboration, as a franchise system, McDonald's owns nothing in our supply chain, not even the distribution centers that deliver the products to our restaurants. That means that everything we do in our supply chain requires collaboration. And its dependence on collaboration is a significant source of strength for the McDonald's system, because we rely on the experts in our supply chain who are closest to the people and systems producing our food. We also rely on NGOs who are on the ground at origin and understand the real-life impacts of our supply chain in ways we can improve those impacts. Collaboration is also essential for us because every issue we're working on is way bigger than McDonald's. Even if we had all the expertise of our suppliers and NGO partners in-house, we know we cannot solve the issues such as climate change or water scarcity by ourselves. For this reason, we actively seek opportunities to engage in industry-wide collaborations such as the Sustainable Coffee Challenge or the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. Uncommon or shared metrics are also key to the efficient and effective impact measurement. Anytime we create a supply chain requirement that is McDonald's specific, we know that we're not only adding complexity and cost to our supply chain, but we also complicate industry and NGO efforts to measure the combined impacts of multiple efforts on any given issue. This is another reason it comes back to collaboration, and it's another reason why it's so important for McDonald's to work with broad groups of stakeholders and industry efforts, once again like the Sustainable Coffee Challenge, COSA, the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. Finally, nothing is ever final. We hit milestones, but we're constantly learning and evolving our frameworks to improve our understanding of our supply chains and our ability to make better decisions for our customers, for our restaurants, and for our supply chains. Last October, we published our McCafe Sustainability Improvement Platform, or McCafe SIP, which is a framework that enables our coffee roasters, such as Farmer Brothers, to design sourcing programs to identify the farms in our supply chain and collaborate with those farms based on the needs identified by the farmers themselves. Through McCafe SIP, we expect the participating farmers to demonstrate continuous improvement in the sustainability of their operations as measured using common scorecards. But our expectations for continuous improvement don't stop with the farmer. We also expect our roasters to continuously improve their programs and the systems they use for collaborating with the farmers, and we constantly seek feedback from our roasters and NGO partners on the ways that we can improve our frameworks and measurements. So we're still very early in the process at McDonald's. Measuring impact is very, very important, and we continue to work with NGOs and with our suppliers to learn about ways that we can do that, measure impact better, and use the right tools to do so.
Townsend, thank you very much indeed. Molly, more for Farmer Brothers. As Townsend mentioned just now, you are a US-based business-to-business coffee services company. Perhaps you could set the scene a bit around how you measure impacts yourselves, the tools you find useful, and the drivers for you as a business for doing so. Molly.
Yeah, hi, good morning, and thank you for that introduction, Townsend and Ian. We, as a supplier of McDonald's, take very seriously their commitment to sustainability, but we also as a business-to-business company, are very invested in the sustainability of our own supply chain, and that starts with the coffee farmers where we source the majority of the products that we buy, roast, and sell. Through McDonald's McCafé SIP program, we do have the option of taking the certification route. Some common certifications in coffee include Rainforest Alliance, Fairtrade USA, OOTS certification. But one of the reasons that we're not taking the certification route for all of our coffees has to do with our supply chain efficiency and the ability to measure impact. We really wanted to be able to tailor a program at origin that fits the needs of local communities and involves the local communities in decision making. So over the past 3 years, we've been developing a verification framework that seeks to capture some of this continuous improvement and measurable impact over time within the McDonald's specific coffee supply chain. So we took the approach of measuring impact based on feedback from some of our larger customers. And as a supplier to larger customers, it's important that our sustainability principles be adaptable to different different frameworks and different requirements from different customers. So the demand for sustainability stories behind our coffees is growing, and we see that every year. We don't see that demand from customers stopping, and especially from large customers like McDonald's, we had to differentiate from single certifications. Committing to one certification could have skewed demand and prices, and the overall goal for our partnerships was to source sustainable coffees without falsely increasing the price paid at origin. We're also looking for a way to measure sustainability that took the majority of the burden off of the farmer and instead to share it with the buyer to implement the required changes that would comply with acceptable sustainability criteria. And we wanted to move away from the checklist approach to sustainability and focus more on impact-based results that are focused on continuous improvement at the farm level rather than complying with a baseline set of criteria. So the first step was to figure out what we wanted to measure and what measuring sustainability really means at the farm level in coffee. And this is where our partnership with COSA has been really important. And they've helped us structure a characterization study that gathers baseline information regarding social, environmental, and economic sustainability at the farm level. And Daniele, a little bit later in this webinar, will elaborate more on the structure of that baseline and what criteria it's based on. But we gathered data from 100% of the farmer population from which we're sourcing coffee for McDonald's. And this data was also collected from a control group, which is a group of farmers with similar sizes and characteristics as our what I'm going to call a treatment group, to use as a measure of progress against which our program can be compared. The main goals of this characterization study were to identify hotspots or critical issues in sustainability at the farm level, and we really wanted to identify any unusual or unexpected sustainability critical factors that were not on the radar for certain regions or certain communities from which we're sourcing coffee. So after this characterization information was gathered, our next step was to share this information with the farmer population to gather feedback and input on how to prioritize technical assistance and investments to address the identified critical issues. And I feel like this is one of the most important steps in our process, as using this data for Farmer Brothers purposes is helpful for us, but sharing this data with farmers and allowing the farmers that are part of our program to have access to science-based information about their farms and communities to make better decisions and be stronger partners is helpful to the success of our program in the long term. The other reason that this step in the process is important is that it increases the rigor under which we scrutinize the data that is used as the baseline of our decision making in the program. And at the farm level, it's in this stage that the raw data collected by farms is scrutinized, analyzed, prioritized, and ultimately serves as the information basis for decision making at the farm level. From those hotspots that we identify, that informs our baseline, and it's the level that both our control and treatment groups start at during the initial information gathering. From this baseline, we take the information from our partners at COSA, the farmer representatives, a chosen technical assistance implementation partner, In our case, we have different programs. One is with Lutheran World Relief. Others are our own teams built in out of in-country agronomists. At other times, we hire specialists to address certain issues that come out of the critical issue identification from the baseline. And the technical assistance implementation really depends upon these issues that come out of the information we collect. It's important to note that we don't have an agenda before the baseline has been completed, that we have recognized that the most efficient use of our dollars in implementation at origin is to focus on these hotspots, and we can't start that process until we've collected that data at the farm level. So once designed in partnership with the groups I mentioned, the treatment groups are monitored each year. And this is both to measure progress against specific performance-related goals, but also to ensure compliance with non-negotiable criteria that are informed by our customer. Our non-negotiable criteria are based on the UN Global Compact as a baseline entry requirement into the program, but it also allows us to measure progress over time in our treatment groups. And lastly, the last monitoring aspect of the information that we're gathering at the farm level is our theory of change. And it has metrics associated with each farm activity, and each of these metrics leads directly to one of the desired impacts of our program. And each 3 years, we will conduct a full impact measurement, and that will compare our treatment group to the control group. And I'd just like to finish on the note that the reason that this is such an important part of the process is that coffee has many external influences that we're unable to control for by just measuring the and monitoring the farmers that we're interacting with. These are things such as the strength of the U.S. dollar versus local currency, the New York commodity price of Arabica coffee, extreme weather conditions that could affect crop yields or quality. And because of this, it's important for us to be able to attribute successes or failures of our program to our specific activities and be able to control for these external factors. Not only does the inclusion of impact-based metrics allow us to attribute positive or negative change of the program to our specific activities, but it also allows us to make claims to our customers, like McDonald's, based on real data that's supported by our findings. So we're able to say to a customer like McDonald's, a percent increase in productivity at the farm level that's attributed to their specific investment dollars. And we want a customer like McDonald's to be able, as the consumer-facing brand, to be able to make these claims publicly, knowing that they're supported by data, credible science-based data at the farm level. It lends credibility to our organizations to be able to be so specific about the impacts we are measuring on our farms, as well as gathering and sharing important research with the larger specialty coffee community.
Thank you very much, Molly. Quick question for me. I mean, I wonder, how much do your customers that you're supplying to, how much do they set the requirements around these matters, and or how much do they look to you to establish the data that needs to be collected and the tools to do so? So how much is it your customers and how much is it you, and do they look to you to do that for them?
You know, it really depends with the customer. With a customer like McDonald's, it's been such a collaborative effort. We're not the only supplier of coffee to McDonald's, so we've been working in strategic groups with all of their suppliers to come to a consensus of what does sustainability really mean and what can we be proud of or stand behind as claiming sustainable coffee. In other cases, our customers don't really know. They just know that they want to be having positive impact, and in those customers, we can bring forth our set of what we believe is sustainable and have them inform based on priorities of their company. But using the COSA scorecard, which is what Farmer Brothers uses, it's a really comprehensive look at economic, social, and environmental sustainability that I would argue is all-encompassing of any facet of sustainability you would be looking at, especially at the farm level in coffee agriculture.
Molly, thank you very much indeed. And thank you to our audience for all the questions that are coming in. They're coming in thick and fast. Many thanks indeed. One thing I just want to reiterate, we don't have any slides during our hour. We're just having a moderated discussion. We will have some materials that we will share with the recording of the webinar after we're finished. Thank you, Molly. Alejandro from IDB, turning to you, the investor perspective in these sorts of matters is always very interesting. So would you be able to outline how you are seeing the use of impact assessment tools in the projects where IDB is involved, and also particularly how this is evolving? Alejandro, are you there? I know we had some slight technical problems before, but Alejandro, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Indeed. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, so I work for the Inter-American Development Bank. It's a regional development bank. We have our headquarters in Washington, but we have offices in each of the countries. And our constituents and our stakeholders are the governments of the region with whom we work. And the area that I work is with the private sector. And from that perspective, kind of similar to what Molly was saying and also Townsend, is we have a interest in knowing where our investments are going, where our loans are having an impact in particular. And whereas we've had these concerns, or we've had these mandates to follow the impact of our investments over the years, it's been interesting to follow how companies that are sourcing from the region have also grown to have an interest in the same issues. And so now, this is actually kind of a unique time in which we're seeing both corporate interest and business interest aligning with the interest of organizations like ours, who want to have access to information about the investments that are being done at origin. And therefore, it's interesting to have this discussion now. And also, I think what was referred to before is technology. I think Townsend mentioned technology is allowing us, the people who are working and investing in these origins, but also the consumers, to have access to information and who want to learn and know more about what's happening at origin. And not only from a consumer stance, but also from a efficiency and impact sense. And that goes also into what Molly was describing. Often the companies, the clients, the organizations that we invest in the region and that we with whom we make grants to, who have their feet on the ground, have some kind of capacity to engage and have access to data from the farmers and the co-ops. But again, technology is allowing this to happen at a much faster rate with lower costs, and therefore making it more accessible to everybody in the supply chain, even those who are like us from an external financing perspective. So our interest is to be able to measure and to convey back to our stakeholders the impact that our investments are having. Again, our loans and our interventions are not unique. There are many factors that play into the investments that we make. So if we make a partnership with a co-op in Nicaragua or Colombia or in Peru, where we want to have some kind of impact, we try to make sure it also that we understand that the impact that our loans are having, and that we can attribute some of that to our investments. But obviously, there are many other factors that are involved. But with technology again, and with the capacity to measure, having control groups, and being able to measure the impact of the interventions, it's a lot quicker and a lot more interesting to see what our investments can actually have. In that regards, we developed with Farmers Brothers and other companies who are involved in coffee and cocoa, the SAFE platform, which is Sustainable Ag and Food Platform, which is kind of a collaboration effort. And again, a collaboration and coordination effort between companies who are seeking and have similar values around the information that is being captured from the field. And so SAFE is actually, there's other traders, roasters, retailers, and a few NGOs, many of which with whom we share the same values of sharing what we are capturing from the field, because a lot of this is also listening to what's happening with companies like McDonald's and Farmer Brothers, but also being open to see what others are doing and from which we can learn. And so the whole idea is to be able to share the knowledge that is generated, not just on the data that we're capturing in the field, but also in the way in which that data is being captured and used, and the platforms that make us capable of making decisions with that data. So for us, it's important to see if we're going to make an investment in coffee or in cocoa in Ecuador or in Peru, then what are the things that we can learn from our investments that we're doing in collaboration with other companies. And the fact that we're doing it with companies also validates our effort more strongly, because it's not just us making the claims about the impact of investments, but we're actually partnering with organizations who have the same commitment to measure the impact of their interventions. It may be for different purposes, but the idea that we're collecting data from the field and we're trying to be honest about what that data is telling us, I think that effort in and of itself is a big step towards what we want to achieve developmentally in the region. So we're seeing this happening in coffee. I think there's a lot of expectation that this may open the doors to do similar things with other commodities such as sugar, cocoa, palm, and like Molly was saying, not just having a checklist, because we have our checklist here as well within the IDB for sustainability and environmental impact, but really trying to ask the question, where does our investment make most sense given the information that we have from the investments that we're making. We're also seeing that other investors and financiers are learning about this capacity to measure, and there's also some traction from the social impact investors' perspective. But I think what's happening at the field, and the advantage of being able to work with farmers on the field with some of these cooperatives, is it puts us at a definite advantage. I think the term collaboration, which was referred to by both Molly and Townsend, is key here, and that is data and the capturing data is collaboration is necessary for this to happen, because as you can imagine, data that is being produced from a farmer on the field in Colombia and what's happening there, so that we can interpret it and see how we can use that data in different headquarters or North America and Europe, there has to be a lot of collaboration between the different partners who are involved, both in the capturing, the processing, and the manipulation of the data, and even the communication of that data. And I think that is also the word collaboration in this, I think in this regard, has a much more stronger sense when it comes to data capturing and the systems that we use. And in that regards, COSA has been a kind of a unifying and a good partner to have. They have seen a space in which both corporations, NGOs, and banks like ours have a common interest, and where we can actually come to the table and discuss the issues and the methods by which we're capturing this data, so that we can compare apples with apples and pears with pears when it comes to impact assessments. Okay, so that's with regards to us. We as a bank are hoping to use this as a learning tool so that we can apply it with other commodities, other sectors, other countries, and so it is definitely of our own benefit to be participating in these kind of platforms.
Alejandro, thank you very much indeed. I think we'll come back to the common metrics problem. It's something that is coming up a lot from our questioners, and also I think it's a key point. But we'll come back to that later in our hour, perhaps. But in the interest of time, I'd like to turn now to Daniele. Perhaps you could sum up for us the opening remarks that we've heard, and giving your perspective on where you think the cutting edge is for the use of tools to really get to grips with data, and how companies can identify what they should be measuring and how to make the best use of the resulting data. Daniele.
Thank you, Ian, and thanks to our partners for joining us today. I think it's a timely topic, certainly, for us as a consortium. We're a nonprofit, but we serve as a consortium for 48 other institutions that are very interested in this theme and want to have collective learning, to learn from each other. It's great to see how this emerges, not just from the public sector, the IDB, which is the largest investor in Latin America and in development areas, but also from diverse types of firms and companies, which ultimately are not only the more powerful investors, they're there every day influencing outcomes based on their interactions and purchasing. So for us, it's always been a challenge to determine how do you drive or accelerate sustainability,
And one of the factors that emerged in the last decade, as we talk about sustainability, even though it's on our lips quite often, it's a relatively novel area of science. And we don't understand a lot about it. We talk a lot about it, but we don't understand very much. And so the first stage was, of course, getting to impact assessment, not just outcomes, doing training, making an investment, et cetera, but we're even adopting a standard, but seeing, are those things actually working? And in the first few years of our data, we did tens of thousands of these surveys in a variety of developing countries and across different crops, and realized that the outcomes are very diverse. In some cases, spectacular success. In others, using the same formula or the same standard, the same certification, say, a spectacular disaster. And trying to understand those distinctions has been part of what drives our work within both corporations and within the public sector, within institutions. So for us, fundamentally, you could narrow this down to the comment that decisions to help ensure any long-term sustainability can only be as robust or as effective as the information upon which they're based. And so working across different crops and different kinds of origins, focusing in developing country supply chains, we realize that there are a lot of lessons to be learned, things we learned in Vietnam that can apply in Peru, things learned in Guatemala that apply in Colombia, etc. And I think it's interesting then that McDonald's, which has considerable impact in its sourcing decisions, but isn't, as Townsend pointed out, directly interacting with a farmer, yet spends millions of dollars a year for the benefit of those farmers to try to improve the sustainability of those supply chains. How can they control that those investments are effective? They want them, of course, to be effective. Nobody wants to waste money, but even more importantly, you can sense, I think, the commitment of Townsend and the company to making a difference as well. And from the Farber Brothers perspective, the idea of acting as an interface, linking the difficulties of suppliers at origin to the demands of buyers that are increasing every day. And I think there the tools that we're beginning to use are very interesting. They're going beyond simple compliance traceability checklists, because that's what is typically being used today. A checklist, do you do this, do you do that, almost binary yes-no approaches, which don't really contribute a lot except perhaps cover some asses, as they say. And we think that for some of the more dedicated firms that are really interested in their long-term future and in the future of their suppliers, that we can easily now go beyond that. And our purpose in these discussions is to apply the tools that enable firms to know their performance, essentially getting to those KPIs, the key performance indicators, to help determine sustainability risks. As Molly pointed out, we can now apply relatively simple technology that exists even in some of the poorest communities in the world, whether it's in Africa, in South Asia, or in Latin America. Many communities now have at least one semi-smartphone. It costs a little over $100 to provide a tablet so that communication can exist. And that communication is increasingly not in one direction. I think the novelty, the innovation of what Farber Brothers is doing, and not just Farber Brothers, but other firms as well, that even some that are supplying McDonald's at their push, is this idea of creating a related supply chain, a supply chain that has that goes beyond the monologue, which is a set of demands being pushed down to suppliers, and they have to just comply, and the challenges of that, of course, but instead creating dialogues and even, if you will, multi-logs, where different actors, NGOs have a role, standards bodies have a role, of course the producers and their organizations have a massive role, and so do the buyers, but everyone has a role. It isn't a passive process. And the ability to communicate on key data, key indicators that have evolved over the last decade, to take into account the SDGs, to take into account literally 6 or 7 dozen of the major international and normative references that range from the Convention on Biological Diversity to what the International Labor Organization is doing, or the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. There are many, many efforts globally that need to align with so that we're not all going in different directions. You asked the question, Ian, how do we get to this consistency? And people are asking for that. Well, the first stage is to benchmark all of the leading, important, influencing efforts at the international level. And that's a process that we've done with many of our partners, including the five UN agency partners that we work with. But also with corporations, what's practical? What's pragmatic in this process? How do we get to systems for accountability that are low cost and comparable globally? In other words, transparent, or where you can confirm that something is actually happening. Well, all of this has to happen, frankly, in partnership. And so the tools, once we have this list, which are now available and are used globally by hundreds of institutions and corporations, either in part or completely, these indicators that have been developed within the consortium reflect global best practices in tens of thousands of approaches. So they've been vetted, if you will, both at the scientific level as well as at the pragmatic level of being actionable, smart indicators, specific, measurable, etc. So on the basis of these vetted indicators, we begin to gather comparable and consistent information that we can look at over time. We can see where investments, if you're looking for an ROI that's beyond just a simple financial return, you can actually begin to compare now. What's happening in the labor pools? How is this working with gender inclusion? What about climate smart agriculture? What kind of metrics? You know, these big topics, everyone can measure somewhat differently. Well, there are 50 ways to measure things like food security or gender inclusion, but there's probably only two or three consistently smart ways that you can apply equally in Brazil, in Rwanda, and in Vietnam. And I think that's critical for us to begin to understand that we can now compare. And it's a vital aspect of learning. What the IDB platform has created, which I think is fascinating, is a consortium of dozens of companies, including some very large global players like Starbucks and Keurig and companies we'd all recognize. Also a lot of leading NGOs in the field. And this combination, working on projects at Origin, is working with a common set of indicators, a common approach to metrics, which is not in any way limiting because the library is rather large. And, of course, we can measure just about anything today. But being able to do that effectively and communicate it and building a knowledge platform where the lessons that the Grameen Foundation learns with Starbucks in Colombia can be shared on the waterworks that are efforts that are being driven by Catholic Relief Services funded by Howard Buffett and by Keurig, one of the leading coffee companies in the world. So these approaches begin to coalesce into sets of lessons. We're learning what works and what doesn't. Some of the results are shocking. And all of it is based on simple platforms for information exchange that are driven at very low cost. And finally, one of the, I think, the great outcomes of this process is that we can look at various approaches. We can look at performance. We can look at impact. We can look at specific areas of resilience. For example, there are with a number of organizations, we've developed metrics for resilience. We know that small farmers, small producers in almost every crop in the world are at huge disadvantage to both be effective partners for companies, but also to be sustainable, and that producer organizations make a huge difference, sometimes even more so than even adopting any standard. And in those cases, how do we assess producer organizations? How can we tell that some are really great and really effective and others are absolutely not? So even having those metrics available now so that stepping into a situation at Origin, suppliers can work with producers, can work with these organizations, can work with resilience, can work with gender topics, whatever the key is for sustainability there. The initial analysis tells you, which is what Farmer Brothers is doing, they're getting the initial analysis with local partners to understand what's going on. And then the conversation really gets rich because the local partners have said, yeah, these are our problems. It's not what you think they are. This is what we mutually think they are. And that opens the possibility for the first time of having a true dialogue with the folks that were the supply chain to determine what are our mutual priorities, and then what are you going to do, and what am I going to do? I may have financing for you, I may have capacity building, but what is your role? So this doesn't become a paternalistic or an avuncular approach, right? What is your role in this space so that we each have a shared role? And by having a simple, using technology today, we put a lot of this into an electronic dashboard for people so that anyone who's a stakeholder in the process can quickly see how are we doing on our KPIs. I can click on them and instantly get a graphic representation of our objective, how far we got today, what's left to do. And you can look at that even if you're pre-literate or illiterate. You can read these graphics so easily like a dashboard that it really enables this partnership to occur and the full level of transparency to drive innovation and to drive results rather than waiting at the end of a project or at the end of a long evaluation years later, what we call archaeology, right? It's interesting, but it's dead. So we need this real-time active process to occur, and that's what McDonald's is driving. It's what Farmer Brothers is actually making happen in their supply chain, and it's what the Inter-American Development Bank is increasingly able to finance and create success around, so that we're looking at lessons, knowledge, and if you will, a collective learning or impact rather than our individual silos.
Great. So, thank you very much indeed, Daniela, and also I congratulate you on your clairvoyance. You managed to answer the question I was going to ask on real-time data before I asked it, so thank you very much indeed. I'd like to turn now to questions from our audience. Thank you very much again for everyone that sent questions in. First one I want to talk is I'm firstly going to Molly, but I think it's relevant for everybody, is our questioner points out that farm-level data gathering can be really burdensome on the farmer. I wonder what your thoughts are on that, and also extending this to perhaps using a jurisdictional approach to getting data from regions of farmers or collectives of farmers rather than specific farms themselves. Molly, what's your view on that?
Yes, farm-level data collection can be very burdensome, and it can also be very expensive, which is why some of the ways that we're collecting data using local partners, using technology that enable both low-cost data and can take 20 minutes or less. And what we're looking at is really the baseline indicators that we want to gather information. And the other point to be made is that it is manageable at a large scale, but if you're looking at a small volume of coffee and a small population of farmers, yes, it can be very expensive. But as you expand that to your whole farming population, it can really become pennies on the pound to collect that information. And we're using the technology that we have with tablets and sending information electronically to reduce the time on the farm that we're collecting data from farmers.
Right, and do you use data from a collectivization of farmers as well, a collective group of farmers, or do you find that you have to focus down at the farm level to get the information that your customers want?
Both. In the case of when we purchase from cooperatives, there is a lot of data that we can gather from the cooperative itself before we go to the farm level. But for us, it is also important to go to the farm level as well. So we'll do as much background data collection as we can. But without getting to each farm, and this is when we're talking of tens of thousands of farmers, we're taking a representative sample of the profile of the farmers. For time and logistics sake, you can't get to every farm in the world to do baseline data collection, but using a representative sample also allows us to extrapolate information about communities.
Thank you very much indeed. A question for Townsend, quite a specific question. The questioner asks, there are lots of sustainability initiatives around that offer their own tools for supply chain data collection, but obviously McDonald's, you have your own tools as well. How do you balance internally between just taking an off-the-shelf tool or developing the tool that you feel really gets the information that your particular organization requires? Townsend, how do you get that balance?
Yeah, great question. I think, and it's one that we have raging debates internally around as we set our targets and figure out what data we need. A couple of things that, come to mind as we think about striking that balance. You know, first, the most important thing is knowing, knowing your own priorities as a company. What's important for you as a company going into the discussion. But then also, once you're confident in knowing what your priorities are, having the humility to listen and learn and really do the hard research to understand what's out there, why they've been developed, and why those tools are valuable, and maintaining the commitment to look for common metrics. It always seems easier on the front end to create our own metrics, and every time we've done it, to create our own metrics when existing metrics or existing tools aren't easily apparent for us. But every time we've done it, we always end up creating more complexity, more work, and more cost in the long term for our supply chain. So it is about I think knowing your priorities, being humble to listen to experts in the field, and do your research and learn, and the commitment to follow through with that research as well until we find the right tool.
That's a very good point you make, I think. Don't be afraid to learn from others. Perhaps your own things you develop might not be the best ones around, but there are always others that you can perhaps learn a bit more from. Thanks very much, Townsend. I want to get through as many questions as I can, because I've got a lot of questions in from our audience. Daniela, a question for you that I'd like you to answer, and also Alejandro. The questioner asks, in focusing on KPIs, what's the risk that improvements are only made on those indicators rather than making actual progress and impact? And how do you prevent that happening when you're developing them?
Yeah, it's very, very critical. Impact is king. You need to know impact. But we know more and more from rigorous science that there are impact pathways. We know there are clear approaches. If you're not on that pathway, you're very unlikely to get the impact. So we need to be able to see and determine quickly, are we on that pathway or not, so that we can adjust, course correct, during the process in the early stages rather than at the end. So they are very closely interlinked. They don't exist separately. The idea of KPIs is to make impact much more likely and much more durable. So the ability to check as you're going or to fine-tune is the role of the KPI.
Alejandro? Thanks very much. Yes, sure. And Alejandro, how do you what do you think in regards to this impact pathways? Is this the sort of thing that you look for from the projects where you're making investments? And you know, if perhaps it's the route to improvement that is as important as anything.
As part of our overall reporting, we do have a number of other instruments that we use that are more for the observation, perhaps general impact. Often the region, the communities, the impact is much more in depth, as you can imagine. So therefore, it allows us to compare with other regions. But we're often looking at our impact in a regional context, in a country context. So what's happening with our projects in this particular part of Peru, where we've also seen, where we've had the opportunity to do other work in other areas that have to do perhaps with infrastructure or education. And so capturing data specifically around the value chain of one crop, of coffee, for example, particularly if it's a crop that is of very much importance for this community, it allows us to dig in a little deeper. So it complements existing platforms that we have for more general reporting that we have.
Thank you very much. Getting a lot of questions that are a bit more technical and asking specifically for examples of tools that our panelists are using and what they do. Perhaps we can go through, perhaps everybody could in turn just give an example of a specific tool that they are using in their work and what it does and why it does that successfully. Molly, can I turn to you first?
Yeah, the tool that we're mainly using is the COSA Touch framework that allows us a visual into the dashboards of our communities. And then in Colombia, what we're using with our in-country partners there is actually something that we developed ourselves. So it's not a great example, but what it is a dashboard that farmers can access to see both their farm their farm information and that we can access from the back end to see information about the whole population.
Thank you very much. And so what does the tool specifically do?
It's really a visual aid and also a data aggregator so that we can look both at individuals and communities. Really, when you're collecting so much information, if you're not able to access it and analyze it in any reasonable way, it's not going to be useful data. I'm sorry this isn't a better example because we created it ourselves, but there are a lot of tools that do this same thing, and hopefully Daniela can speak to those. But really what we want is quick access to data that's going to help us make decisions and measure progress about the investments that we're making.
Thanks very much, Molly. Townsend, a specific tool that you're using and how it works, please.
Sure. You know, we for McDonald's as well, a lot of, as we look at our McCafe platform, it's about creating a platform that allows the roasters to develop their own programs and use their own tools. And so the McDonald's role in the data collection then is a matter of aggregating data from diverse systems as well. So a lot of our technology that we've used to date is more survey-oriented and data aggregation tools. We're actually in the process of evaluating our tools and figuring out how we can do this more efficiently and have more access to real-time data to improve our decision-making as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Alejandro, do you have any comments on this, the sort of specific tools that you like to see being used?
We are currently implementing the COSA tool for the SAFE platform, which is an online platform where we can currently just see the information captured by the three projects that we're running. We're just starting a third one. And so both the projects that are ongoing have to do with productivity, and so we're capturing data at the farm level around existing yields, current yields, and because both have some elements of credit, for example, credits to farmers, we're capturing the data of the amount of the loan that goes out to the farmer, and we hope to be able to measure that over time, the impact of these loans are having on the productivity of the farmers.
Thanks very much. Daniela, perhaps you could sum up and perhaps recommend a tool that isn't the COSA framework.
Thanks, Ian. we're a nonprofit, so we're committed to results, not to driving a particular platform. There are many good technologies out there. We believe that their characteristics should be a certain neutrality so that you're not obliging someone to invest heavily in one platform or another. So whether you're using an iPhone or a Samsung Pad, or, you know, it really should be completely irrelevant in a sense, because the hardware, whether it's a database or process, is out there. And there are a number of good organizations operating today that we work with, like GeoTraceability, SourceMap, SupplyShift, and many others that are doing great work in the field. The key is content. I think ultimately these facilitators make a difference and help, and we want to integrate state-of-the-art technology to drive down cost. Because when you can have a platform and you can take, say you've got 50 questions you really want to ask, how do you ask those in 12 minutes? Well, we can do that based on skip logic, on internal validation processes, and the way the software is structured to get to these questions with a high level of accuracy and a very low level of imposition on the farmer. Those things are both critical. And then the ability to take that data instantly into real time so that as different actors in the field are gathering information during their day-to-day visits to farmers, we're not advocating these huge extra efforts, right? This is business, during business processes, you add a very small piece and you get much higher levels of compliance, understanding, of traceability, of even understanding the nature to which you're engaging your farmers, either directly or indirectly, and the results of that being seen on dashboards in real time.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Slight change of tack. I'm going to fascinating question that I'd like to put to Townsend initially. We've been talking today mostly around the coffee supply chain and sustainability of products. You know, a coffee is a product that's very visible to consumers. But I wonder what different approach do you have to take for commodities that are hidden, such as palm oil and soy, you know, products that perhaps consumers don't know so much about. Townsend, how do you look to bring these matters to your consumers' attention, and what sort of tools and data gathering do you need to do so?
Topics like palm oil, where it's hidden, you know, it is definitely a topic. It'd be great to have more consumer awareness of. One particular example: a few years ago, the Philadelphia Zoo had an exhibit in their orangutan habitat, where they highlighted companies that had made good statements and good policies and were reporting progress on those policies around palm oil. And they had kids, as they were going through, write short thank you notes or write their names on little handprints or leaves. And then they collected them all and sent them to the companies that were thanked by the kids. And so every time they'd collect 1,000 of these handprints, I'd get a package at my desk with those. And so to have that kind of positive reinforcement, to be able to share with the executives internally, and to see that, you know, how important those hidden ingredients are, and then a positive message is really valuable for corporations. A topic like palm oil, it is constantly a conversation and a collaboration with our suppliers on how do we get more visibility. And it's also about, you know, recognizing that the process of continuous improvement. You know, we're not going to start with everything solved. So for McDonald's, you know, we started off using RSBO credits to understand impacts. We're moving with our suppliers, and in the U.S. in 2016, we transitioned for any palm oil in our baked goods supply chain from credits to mass balance. And so recognizing that we've got that process of continuous improvement and getting on the journey and working through that and continuing to work with stakeholders as well.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you very much indeed. We're coming towards the end of our time, unfortunately, but I would like our panelists in way of summing up, to answer a final question. And really, it's how business tools like we've been discussing, how these can really bring sustainability priorities into alignment with overall business goals, because that's obviously what we're trying to do. So perhaps Molly, could you answer that very quickly, please?
Yeah, the way that these tools are helping us align sustainability with our overall business goals is that we're able to both quantify and qualify the impact of the investments that we make. So going to our board of directors and our shareholders as a public company, we're armed with real data about the impacts that our investments at Origin are making.
Great. No, thank you very much indeed. Townsend, can I come back to you quickly?
Sure. For us, it's about having assured supply and knowing and understanding the risks in our supply chain, and it's also about being able to predict the costs in our supply chain through understanding those risks and knowing that we're acting in accordance with our values and making sure that the coffee, like in the example of coffee, that it's going to be there for the long term. And that we're able to plan so that we can control our costs for our restaurants.
Sure. Alejandro, just a quick comment.
Yes, on our side, the risk factor that Tyler was just mentioning is similar for us. Before we make loans, investments in some of these regions in the countries, learning about what the impact is or how some of these potential clients are doing, gives us a sense of the repayment capacity that they have, particularly if they're going to be taking loans, long-term loans, for renovation or whether it's climate resilience. Most of the investments that have to do with climate adaptation are long-term loans, so there's a long-term aspect here to risk. And so understanding how these loans have an impact at the farm level is very important for us.
Thank you. Daniela, very quickly then, perhaps you can just bring it together and say from your perspective how you're seeing tools bringing the sustainability priorities, really aligning them with overall business goals.
Sure. Making it low cost and getting to ROI, I think, is the key. I would add the S to ROI, the returns on sustainability investments. As companies and organizations know what those are, they're better able to manage for results, and that's the key. That's
great.
It.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm afraid we are out of time. I would like my sincere thanks to our panel for their time and insight today. We've had a fascinating discussion. We will be in touch with a recording of this webinar and some other materials, so you can listen again and share with your colleagues. Do check out Innovation Forum's website for updates and new analysis on all matters on sustainability and business, including about our measurement and return on investment for sustainability conference, which is coming up in London in June. We also welcome feedback, so don't hesitate to contact any of us at Innovation Forum with any follow-up questions and comments. For now, I hope you found the past hour interesting, and thank you very much indeed for listening.